Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend.
The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel ben Yamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Chulin Daf Samech Hei. Our Gemara discusses the Isser of eating chagovim and toiloim. This next few blad are going to be discussing this. I wanted to discuss a very important question with regard to the halachas of toiloim that we'll discuss how it becomes very negiah, this question. Everybody knows that a yid is not allowed to eat bugs, and there are many foods about which we are told that these foods have to be checked, because there's a possibility of infestation of toiloim. And we all know that we try hard to look, and it's very hard to find it, and we just end up cutting a lot of foods out of our diet, or buying foods from specific places, or greenhouses, whatever it is. We work very hard to try to avoid this possibility of eating bugs, even though we can't really find these bugs. We don't know if they really exist in the first place, how we would find them if they did exist. We wouldn't really know these bugs if they came and slapped us in our face. So there's a big question among the Paiskim whether this inyan, this concept of checking foods for bugs, in a case where there is a high level of infestation, in other words, in a case where, let's say, most foods are infested, whether in that situation the chi of bedika would be midoraisa or midrabanan. What's this question based on? The question is, we know that there's a concept called bittel beroiv. If you have a bit of treif meat falls into a pot and you can't find it, so in that case you have to have shishim, whatever it is, but there's a concept in the Torah called bittel beroiv, and frequently you need shishim, but there's something called bittel. Something is an object is nullified because of the fact that it's mixed in and it's so minute relative to the permitted food in the mixture, that we say that the prohibited food in the mixture is not considered as though it exists. Question is whether this concept would apply to the case of a food that's infested with bugs. Obviously, if you have a bug that fell into a pot of liquid and it's impossible to find it, 100%, there everybody would agree that there's a concept of bittel beroiv. However, when we're dealing with a food that can be checked, well, theoretically it can be put through certain processes by which the insects could be removed from the food, in that case, one can wonder whether or not there would be a concept of bittel beroiv, which would, the basis of that question would be, do we say bittel beroiv only in a situation where it's impossible to separate the heter from the iser? It's impossible to separate the food that you're allowed to eat from the food that you're not allowed to eat? Or is it even applicable in a case where it's possible, theoretically, to separate the two items, but it's fraught with a lot of difficulty, it's very hard, it makes it very hard for a person to have to go through the effort of looking for these insects. So, I heard from my Rebbe Rav Shlomo Miller a number of times that he believes very strongly that toiloim meik midoraisa or bittel beroiv. And the only reason why we're not soimich on bittel and we obligate a person to go and check and remove the insects from the produce is only because of din derabbanan, which is beri eloi bittel. Anytime you have an item that the Torah specifically asked for this item in its totality, in other words, let's say you have a bug, which the Torah said you cannot eat this bug, as opposed to a situation where the Torah says don't eat an animal that's a treifa and a kazayas of the animal falls into a pot, that would not be considered a barrier because in that case, the entire object that the Torah asked did not fall into the pot. The Torah said don't eat a treifa and only a small part of a treifa, a small fraction of the treifa fell into the pot. However, in this case, the Torah said don't eat the bug and the entire bug fell into the pot. And in that case, is a concept known as barrier eloi bottle, which is a din derabbanan. The Rabbanan said that a barrier is chashim and therefore it's not bottle. But midoraisa, the bug, the insects would be bottle beroiv in the taruvis, in the produce or whatever it is that they're mixed into. Even though it's possible to remove them and to separate them, nevertheless, since it's so difficult to do that, I heard from my Rabbi Reb Shlomo Miller that he feels that this is considered bittul b'roiv. And he brings a raya, because one of the items that the Pais can talk about that's considered a berry is an amala, an ant. And he argues that it would be impossible to say that you can't find the ant, that you would not be able to separate an ant. If you have an entire, a full-sized ant, I mean not full-sized, but if you have an ant that's not missing any parts, a complete ant, falls into a mixture, no matter what that mixture consists of, it should be possible to ultimately separate that mixture down enough to be able to find the ant. So if the Paiskim discuss this concept of beria with regard to an ant, it must be that even though it's possible to separate the mixture to the extent that you're able to find the davar ha'asur and separate it out of the mixture, nevertheless, that would be considered a taruvah since there's so much difficulty that's involved. I asked Rabbi Fischelis, the son-in-law of Rabbi David Feinstein, what his father-in-law holds about this. So he told me that he feels that it's certainly asur. It certainly is midaraisa, and there's no din of bittul b'roiv. So I told him what my Rabbi Rosh Hashanah Miller said. So he showed me a Prima Gadim who brings down from a Knesset HaGdoyle who holds like Rosh Hashanah Miller, and the Prima Gadim argues on the Knesset HaGdoyle. So there's an argument between the Prima Gadim and the Knesset HaGdoyle about this topic. A few years ago, I met a Talmud Chacham in Lakewood who showed me a write-up that he has about this topic, where he brings down what he feels is a very compelling case to say that midoraisa, a bug is not bottle, since it's possible ultimately to find it. And I slowly brought down a number of achroinim. A number of those rayas are not ironclad. In other words, he brings down, for example, from Yeshua Siankiv, who brings that the people, that the Paiskim in his generation asked the question that L'chaira, a bug is only not bottle midorabanan, like Rosh Hashanah Miller said, and Yeshua Siankiv argues on them, but I didn't feel that was a very compelling raya because of the fact that the Yeshua Siankiv is obviously going up against many Talmidei Chacham in his generation who disagreed with him. So on the one hand, you have the Yeshua Siankiv. On the other hand, it seems that there were others that disagreed with him. And a number of those rayas over there were, I felt, were bringing down both sides of the case rather than just bringing one side. In other words, he's quoting the Paisik who happens to hold that it's not Batel, whereas that Paisik himself quoted Paisik and well, then the raya it is Batel. I was fascinated by one of the rayas, which is a raya from a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer discussed a case where there were three Sifrei Torah, and the people had found a mistake in one of these three Sifrei Torah, and then that Sefer Torah, where we know that there was a mistake, got mixed into among the other two Sifrei Torah. And now we don't know which Sefer Torah is the one that has a mistake. So Chassam Sofer discusses, would we be able to apply the concept of bittul b'roiv in this situation? Chassam Sofer says that, no, we certainly cannot apply the concept of bittul b'roiv in this situation. Again, in this case, the bittul b'roiv would work even on the d'rabbanan d'kol level, because we're not dealing with a berius. So this was a very practical question to the Chassam Sofer, not just the theoretical question of whether it's the rise of the d'rabbanan, which is not that, is also has practical applications. But in the Chassam Sofer's case, it was very relevant to know whether there was an actual din of bittul or not. And the Chassam Sofer brings a very, what appears to be an ironclad raya from a Mefurisha Gemara that there's no din bittul b'roiv in this case. The Gemara discusses a case where a number of animals got mixed up. One of the animals is a treifa. The other animal is not a treifa. Ask the Gemara, how is it possible for a treifa to get mixed up with animals that are not a treifa? For an animal to be in a treifa, the Gemara assumes in this question, there is, by definition, some kind of physical, you can recognize the fact that there's some kind of physical issue with the animal that causes it to be a treifa. So it should be possible to inspect the animals and determine which one is indeed a treifa and which one is not. So the Gemara gives a number of terutzim. One of the terutzim the Gemara says is that you had two animals. One was hit by a wolf. A wolf inserted its claw into the animal's skin, which renders the animal a treifa. And the other animal was hit by a thorn. A thorn punctured the animal's skin, so it would be very difficult to tell which one is the nekuvas hakoyf, which one is drusus hazeif. So Gemara asks, that's not a good answer. Why? Because there is some kind of difference between the kind of mark that's made by a thorn and the kind of mark that's made by a wolf. one is round, one is long, whatever it is. So says the Chasam Sofer, nevertheless, it's very difficult to be able to inspect all these animals and find which one has this mark and which one has that mark. So the Chasam Sofer brings a raya, then in this case, there will not be a din of Bittul Meroi. So this seems to be a very, very clear raya, not just from the Chasam Sofer, but from Mefurash Gemara, not like what Rav Shlomo Miller and the Knesset HaGdolah and all those other Achrayim were saying. So I was trying to think of an answer, why these Achrayim, how they could ignore this raya from the Gemara, and I thought that there's a very, very big difference between the two situations. In the case of the bug, insect getting mixed into the produce or whatever it is, the davara asur is a very, very small item. The fact that the small insect got mixed into this produce is in of itself the reason why it's difficult for me to separate between the two. The reason why it's difficult for me to separate between these two items is because the very, very minute small item of Isser got mixed into a large amount of Heter, and therefore, since it's, the Isser is so small, it's very, very difficult for me to go ahead and remove the Isser from the Heter. So it's the fact that it got mixed in which is creating this difficulty and presenting to me this difficulty of taking it out. It's the taruvus itself which is making it hard for me to take the item out, and therefore, according to these achroinim, that itself is enough to say that there is a taruvus in our situation. You don't have to have that it's impossible to take it out. It's enough that the fact that it got mixed in makes it difficult for me to take it out. However, when you're dealing with the case of the Sefer Torah, of the Chasam Sofer, the reason why, there's only three Sefer Torah over here. The Sefer Torah is a very, very large item. The reason why it's so difficult for me to remove the Isser from the Heter, to find the Sefer Torah, which is Pasul, and take it out of the Taruvus, the only reason for that is because the Isser itself is very hard to determine whether it's Asur or Mutter. In other words, if I would have one Sefer Torah, and I didn't know whether there was a Psul in that Sefer Torah itself, it would be just as hard, almost, as finding it when it is three Sefer Torah. It's just a third as hard, but it would, the main difficulty that I have to determine which one's Asur or which one's Mutter would exist whether or not there was a Taruvus in this case. If there was one Sefer Torah in front of me, I didn't know whether this Sefer Torah was Asur or Mutter. I know maybe there's a problem, but I don't know if there's a for sure problem, and I would now try to find that problem. It would be just as difficult almost for me to find out whether or not this Sefer Torah was Pasul or whether it was Kosher. So therefore, it's not the Taruvus that creates the difficulty, it's the actual Psul that is in the Sefer Torah that's a very difficult Psul to find. That's a regular suffix. That would not be considered a Taruvus. The Taruvus over here is not creating any difficulty. It's very easy for me, once I find out which one's Pasul, to now go and take it out of the Taruvus. The same reasoning would apply in the case of the Drusus HaZeev or the Nekuvus HaKaitz. In the case of the Gemara, where we have a subject, which animal is a treva, which one isn't, it's not because the animal got mixed into a lot of other animals that it's very hard for me to find it. It's very hard for me to find it because the actual psul, the actual tarfus that this animal is plagued by is a very, very hard tarfus to be able to determine. I have to go look carefully in the entire skin of the animal to find out whether or not this animal is a Drusus HaZeev or Nekuvus HaKaitz. If I only had one animal in front of me, I would also have a very, very hard time finding out if it was a Drusus HaZeev or Nekuvus HaKaitz. So since it's not the fact that it got mixed into other animals, which created the difficulty, therefore it would not be considered a Taruvus, and in that case, everybody would agree, even the Achrayim will hold, that insects are considered a Taruvus Midaraisa. They would also agree, in this case, that it's not considered a Taruvus Midaraisa, and they would agree to the Psak of the Chasam Sofer, and they would certainly agree to what it says in the Gemara, that this case would not be considered Batal.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.